Hello, and welcome to another episode of How Are You Holding Up? A mental health podcast by the depressed for the depressed. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lindsay.
And the first question, as always, I want to ask you is, Lindsay, how are you holding up?
You know, this was an actually exceptionally interesting week for me, and I'm doing fairly well. I got a new job that I'm very happy with, and while there were some sad moments, I have been buoyed by the excitement of this new gig.
New gigs are always awesome. Is it really something you can talk about, or are you?
It's a little bit private.
You sworn to secrecy.
Sworn to secrecy, NDAs and stuff. And Chris,
no.
How are you holding up?
Well, I would say on a scale of the 1 to 10 stress level, it has decreased, thankfully, to about a 3. Okay. Even though today was my 6th work day in a row.
Oh, jeez.
it's one of those complicated cases where everything is going really well, and there have been very few complications. But you know, every so often, we just kind of have to take some time and just kind of stretch it out a little bit. Now, boy, that sounds weird out of context. But anyway, aside from work, which obviously becomes a major part of my life, I've also been able to kind of just take some time and try and take care of myself.
Me too.
Which is very important.
Yes.
And leads us to our topic of conversation this week. Self-interest versus selfishness. There is a distinction.
Absolutely. Before we go any deeper, right?
Yes. Always, as always, we are not professionals. We are not mental health professionals, I should say. We have no doctorates. We have no degrees whatsoever under our names. But
this is our opinion.
These are our opinions. These are our thoughts, our feelings, and our way.
Also, a trigger warning. We will be talking about some difficult and possibly painful subjects today.
Yes.
You know, things you might hear in the media about selfishness. And also, we will be touching on suicide, being selfish.
Yes. So, once again, we're going to... Suicide warning. Make sure that, you know, if this is a topic that is very sensitive to you, we will, of course, give you another, like, trigger warning later
right
on
before.
In the episode. Yeah, right before we get started talking on it, so you don't have to worry. So, anyway, let's start with self-interest is not selfishness.
Right.
This is something that we really need to kind of stress that doesn't really get talked about enough.
Yes. I'd like to say something, you know, if you're sick and you have a flu or the stomach bug, you take medicine, you rest, you don't force yourself, well, you shouldn't, to work, and maybe in some cases you go to a doctor. And I feel like in that way you should treat yourself the same if you have depression. If you know that you're prone to depression, go seek medical help. Take vitamins, take yourself for a walk, even if you don't want to. Do little things along the way that will help buoy you into the harder parts. And some people might see or think putting yourself, your physical and mental health first, as an act of selfishness. And I would like to say it is not your responsibility to make someone understand why you're doing that. And also comment that you're going to be no good to anybody if you're not taking care of yourself. It's going to degrade your relationships anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Being down, trying to force yourself to do certain things.
Absolutely. It's the same as if you broke your leg and you decided that, no, I'm going to go ahead and help my friend move. Like, you're not going to help them move. Congratulations, you're now in the way with your janky leg. And it's not helping anybody out.
So we wanted to just point out that self-interest is not selfish. We looked it up on the dictionary, and Google Dictionary says that the selfish definition is an adjective lacking consideration for others, concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure.
I would like to throw in kind of an additional part of this that I feel is important. When you're doing something out of self-interest, you are doing it for the sake of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When you're doing something out of selfishness, you are doing something for yourself at the expense of others.
Yeah.
this is the key point that I feel always gets kind of lost in that translation, where when somebody says, oh, you're just being selfish, it's like, are you? If I'm taking some time to take care of myself, if I'm, for example, reneging on my duties, where I'm like, I was supposed to do something really important that day, like I'm not paying, you know, a bill, or I'm not taking somebody to the hospital if they had right. like an appointment or something, and I just don't want to, I just don't feel like it, that's more on the line of I'm being selfish there.
Yeah.
Or I'm, you know, late on paying my rent. Why? I wanted to spend it. I just wanted to spend my rent money on something that made me happy. Yeah. Like, that's selfish, because yeah. now there's other people who are going to suffer based on your choices.
And I think it's important when you're depressed, it's hard in the moment mm-hmm. to really be thinking outside of yourself, because you are down and you are using so much of your energy just to live. But to remember that there are people around you who do love you, even if you don't feel like they do. And I think when you're in a good state of mind, write out a list of the people who you would consider your foundation, you know, and people who you know love you and that you trust. And so when you're depressed, look at that list so you have a physical thing in front of you to remind you, and contact them and let them know, hey, I'm sorry if I'm not getting back to your text messages, if I'm being a little bit, you know, miscommunicative, I'm just kind of low right now and I wanted to let you know. I think we have a tendency when we're depressed to, without meaning to, become a little self-indulgent sometimes with our negativity and our thoughts, letting that take us away because we feel so bad.
Do you have some things that you know you do that you feel are selfish?
Yes. I definitely, now to be fair, I do get overwhelmed because I have the fuzzy brain going on when mm-hmm. I'm depressed.
Sure.
But I definitely noticed that I would give myself a pass on not getting back to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just kind of take myself out of the equation. And to be fair, I felt like I don't want to be a burden, so I'm withdrawing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't contact people as much and I don't respond because I just, you know, I just feel like in the way.
Yeah, that's a fun little bit of a circular logic that hits you there.
It does. And it hurts people because, yeah. you know, I've got four people messaging me or whatever, and I just, you know what, I'm not going to. And that's not fair. And I may not feel like doing it right then, but you can send, it takes you a second. Mm. You can send somebody back something like, hey, you know what, I know this seems ridiculous or whatever, you don't have to preamble it. I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed right now. I want to let you know that I saw your message and I can't get back to you right now, but I will.
Yes.
Just something.
It does help because, like, especially now with most social media and text messaging and all platforms in which communication is done anymore, you can not just look at a message.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're immediately letting the other person know, hey, I saw it.
Yeah.
And they will know, and you'll sit there and think to yourself, oh God, they know that I know. And I'm going to sit here and freak out for a little bit because they know I know, and they know that I'm not responding to them. Maybe they think I'm mad at them. Maybe they think I'm just taking my sweet time to make them feel weirder. Any number of thoughts can start racing into your brain. It's so maddening.
Right.
Like, for me, I'm not necessarily, like, I'm not bad at getting back to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way horrible at reaching out to people. Like, my problem is not getting back. I won't just message people out of the blue. I suck at that.
Yeah.
I can't just be like, hey, I was thinking about you and I hope you're doing good, or hey, what's up? I haven't talked to you in a while. It's cool. No, I don't do any of that.
Yeah.
I suck at that.
It's also a weakness of mine.
Like, for me, I'm more like, if I'm in that kind of selfish mood where, like, I just don't want to fucking deal with other people, mm-hmm. then I'm more likely to just cancel plans outright. Or I'm going I'm going to not do chores if I'm not feeling it. And I'm not, or, you know, put off whatever the fuck is going on in my life. Because mm-hmm. it's just more shit that I need to pay attention to. No, I can't do that anymore.
And I think if you don't have depression, it can look selfish. If you have a quote-unquote healthy brain, mm-hmm. You're not going to understand why your friend doesn't get back to you or why they keep canceling plans or they just never decide to go out. And I think this is for both people who have depression and who don't suffer from depression. I know that some of you don't have the energy to listen to someone emotionally dump upon you. Oh, and I God. Think when you live with depression, you have you go through cyclical depression, you deal with a lot of heavy emotions and you forget that some people don't, and they don't know how to process it, and they don't know how to help. And so it just feels like you're draining them. And it's no one's fault, but you know, every time you hang out, if you talk about your depression, it's going to be a lot. And so that can seem, I think, to some people, selfish. Why I think that is because I've seen comments online on depression, YouTube videos, and some other places, articles. And I actually saw the comment, depression is a luxury.
Oh, yeah.
How does that make you feel, Chris?
Well, let me start by saying that I've heard that phrase one time too many. It is genuinely infuriating to me, the idea that like one person's depression or one person's misery is somehow quantifiable in a degree that like, oh, you can't be depressed, you don't have it rough, you have nothing wrong with you, there are people who have it way worse than you.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the one that I like, that gets me fucking started like nobody's business, because you would never ever tell somebody who just like is paralyzed from the neck down, oh, don't worry, somebody's out there got it worse than you. You would never fucking do that.
No.
That is not something that anybody would ever say to that.
No.
But if you say to somebody, well, I'm depressed, I feel a little down, you know, yeah. There are a lot of times, there's a lot of people out there who their immediate response is, you don't have it that bad. You don't have it rough.
Yeah.
It's like a weird why do you trial think they by say fire. That? I don't know. I don't know why it's said in me personally. I can come up with ideas.
Yeah.
Like for me, I think that the idea of you don't have it that bad and that being an honest truth for them, it comes from a point of definite hardship.
Yeah.
Like they have experienced some form of hardship in their life and they came out of it better.
Mm.
Or they came out of it scarred, but not necessarily letting it get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or even more of a reality, they just came out of it dead. They came out of it dead inside.
Yeah.
To a degree where nobody... nothing.
They're bitter when somebody else has extreme emotional responses. Absolutely.
Any sort of emotional response. Like you get somebody who's that broken and mm-hmm. bitter, and they will see somebody at their happiest. And they will just go, what do you have to be happy about? Or you see somebody at their saddest, and what do you have to be sad about? There's a lot of, like, explanation almost requested by them.
Have you experienced somebody like that in a relationship? Where they didn't understand your depression and they felt like it was selfish?
I have, yeah. I have experienced that. It's difficult to kind of deal with in a way that makes any sort of sense, honestly. Just because you get close with somebody and you tell them your story and you tell them what they've been through,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reason, they might not see it as that bad.
Yeah, that's...
It's where it comes down to at that point is like, yeah, you had it rough,
right.
But so what? I had this and this happen to me.
Yeah.
And it's some weird contest. It's like a bizarro, like, a bizarro race to the most miserable.
I think it's interesting. I know that looking back, because, you know, hindsight's 2020, mm-hmm. I have been selfish in relationships when I was depressed in a way that wasn't healthy because I was self-indulging in the depression. For example, mm-hmm. I would say continuous, I'm never going to be successful. They would be happier if I were dead. I hate myself. I hate my body, I'm boring, et cetera, et cetera. And I chose to feed the void and I didn't try to make it better. And then I expected them to make me happy. I expected them to fix me in some way. And maybe at the time it was, at the time it was subconscious. But so I was basically just taking from them and expecting them to fix this sad feeling. And then I blamed them for not why was I feeling this way? It must be your fault. And in that way, I think you can get into a cyclical you are valid in your depression. And at a certain point, it's your actions. And you were telling me something interesting about that earlier.
There's actually something funnier that you mentioned something and it brought up something completely different than what I was going to bring up. But we will get to that. Don't you worry. The idea of you're not looking for a partner. You are looking for somebody. Well,
you're looking for an antidepressant in a person.
Not what I was going to say, but you know what? That works too. I was going to say you were looking for a savior.
Yeah.
You were looking for somebody to come and rescue you.
Right.
From yourself. You were your own like Rapunzel dragon kind of combo. Whereas.
Thanks, Disney.
Yeah, right. Whereas I was suffering from white knight syndrome. Mm-hmm. I wanted to save who I was with. Mm-hmm. I was very much in key fucking gear to like anytime the girl that I was interested in had a problem, I'd be there. It didn't matter what time, day or night, I would be there for them and I would make everything better. And it was this horrible pattern that I still have difficulty breaking just because I do that not only with my romantic relationships, I do that with my friendships, where I'm like, is there something wrong? Let's fucking fix it. Let's get on this. Let's do something about it.
I think that can be a strength to a certain point. Is that your detriment emotionally?
It will almost always be to one's detriment in the long run.
In the long run.
You can't have that kind of personality and just go, well, I can turn it on and off. I can just kind of work through it and just make it how it's going to be. No.
I'm just going to give a little.
Yeah. Here, let me go ahead and just slice a little bit of my heart here. And just, you go ahead and take that. Just that little tiny slice of my heart. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We're fine. But you brought up the other point, though, of when you kind of adopt depression as an identity.
Yes.
And that is something that I'm very excited to talk about. And I know that there are people out there who you may kind of talk about your depression as though it were a part of you, or you talk about that your depression as it is a weird entity that just kind of invades your life.
Yeah.
But there are people who've kind of adopted depression as just, yeah, I'm depressed, and I'm depressed all the time, and I'm going to live my truth. My truth is that I'm depressed.
Right.
And there's actually a psychological condition where people, it's mostly attributed, again, to sort of the medical end, like health-wise, of physical ailments. Munchausen syndrome. Now, Munchausen syndrome is an interesting case in that people derive their affections and their attention from others by them being weak. They are ill, they are sickly, they make every excuse in the book for just, oh, I feel so horrible. What would make me feel better? Oh, I don't know. It would be good if you could come over and spend some time with me. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people who kind of fall into this category that they fall. There's another side of it that is equally fascinating and horrifying at the same time, which is Munchausen's by proxy syndrome. Now, whereas Munchausen's can be brought in for depression in the sense of just, I'm so depressed all the time, I'm gonna just talk about my depression and everybody around me will just kind of have to either get with the program and love me because my depression is so bad, or they get to a point where in Munchausen by proxy it's whoever else is in their life that is suffering For example, say you are taking care of a parent and they are sickly. Mm-hmm. You are now going to use their illness mm-hmm. to get attention for yourself. Because you want, you crave, you need that sympathy. Mm. It is a drug that fuels your every moment and every waking instant of life. It's just being able to just go, yeah, things have taken a turn for the worse.
Well, it's like The Sixth Sense, the mother who poisons her child. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There was a famous case. Not to get, like, kind of true crimey on this podcast, but there is a true crime case. This woman, Mary Beth Tinning, who, I mean, this is going to get really dark, guys. Sorry in advance. She killed almost, like, it was something like 8 of her children. It was amazing. She just, her children kept dying. And they, at first, were passing it off as some weird, like, kind of like biological disorder that existed in the mother, and it was genetically passed down. But then she had an adopted child who also died in the same way. Mm. And then they finally found out that basically she had been murdering her children. Mm. But she was using that to fuel her social presence. This was the poor mother who lost so many children. Mm. And so, thankfully, she was sent away for a very long time. But with Munchausen's, just plain old Munchausen's, like, you can use your depression in that same way. And you adopt it as who you are. And you, nobody wants to be around that person.
I mean, I think in general, just seeing yourself as more than the depression is so yes. important. It's just, it doesn't have to be everything.
No.
And on that vein, you were talking about earlier, it was really interesting, you were saying something about behavior versus feelings.
Yes. I would like to actually give credit where credit is due. This is from Undastra on Tumblr. It was in response to a post by #Dion where my emotions are valid, asterisk. Valid does not mean healthy or good or to be privileged above common sense and kindness. And this is the distinction that was laid out in response to that, that I'm going to read just verbatim because I feel this is very important for people to hear. A distinction for anyone who is young and hasn't figured this out yet. You are allowed to have whatever emotions you want. No one can control your emotions. Emotions are healthy responses to things. You are not allowed to have behaviors that are harmful just because you have certain emotions. Your behaviors are what you can control, and they are far easier to control than your emotions. You can be jealous about someone or their talents until you turn green, but it is harmful to yourself and to that person if you try to sabotage them because of it. You can be so angry that you can literally feel your temperature rise, but this does not give you permission to rage at others. Your emotions are valid. They are always valid. You are a person of value. However, your behaviors are not always justified just because of those emotions. You may not be able to control your emotions, but you can certainly control your behaviors.
I think that's so important. And that's something in therapy that I learned because in my personal life, I actually talked with some family members about it. They were feeling like when I would go into a depression, they had to be on eggshells around me. And they felt like I didn't care as much about their feelings. And so in that way, it could come off as selfish.
Yes.
And so, with vast amounts of therapy, I realized feelings are fine. Behaviors are the importance. And that's where I want to talk about the whole self-indulgent mm-hmm. behavior of letting yourself look. Depression happens; it's chemical, but we are like little chemical experiments. There are things that chemically will make you feel better. Laughing makes you feel better. I actually know somebody mm-hmm. who really enjoys making sure she laughs before bedtime. because she knows that she'll sleep better and she'll have happier dreams if she watches something that makes her giggle. And I love that.
Oh.
So little things like that, like, for example, our last podcast episode, I was starting to go down that depression road.
Yes.
And I was really working hard at becoming more aware of my behaviors and not letting myself lose time into the video games and so forth. So yeah. I made sure to take bubble baths and listen to my audiobooks and take myself outside for a walk, even if I hated it, and look myself in the eyes in the mirror and be like, you are beautiful. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are, you know. So yeah, but on that note, I think at this moment in the episode, we would like to take a little warning break.
Yep. If suicide is something that you don't want to hear talked about or you can't really handle hearing about right now, now is the time to skip towards the end of the episode. I don't have a timestamp for you. I'm sorry, but yeah, no.
We can put it in the comment.
We'll put it in the description. But we love you, and it's okay. So anyway,
so
there was another big suicide in the news lately.
Yes. So the other day, I was on my phone and I was looking at the news and I saw that Rico, the zombie boy, had committed suicide. And he is somebody that you can see in Lady Gaga's music video. He was a model, and I believe he was also an actor.
Yeah, he was in a couple of things.
He was
32.
He's 32, and he's you probably would recognize his face. He's literally covered almost his entire body with skeleton tattoos, his face, the top of his head. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why this affected me in the way that it did. I think it's because I know that Lady Gaga is so pro helping people with, you know, mental, emotional issues, really promoting being healthy and loving each other. And I know that they were, well, I don't know, no, but they seemed to be close and friends. And it's one of those cases where you feel like this person has so much going for them. And they're surrounded by people who care about them, and they're talented, and they've made this beautiful life. And then they committed suicide. And it makes you wonder why.
Yeah.
And how bad was it for him that he had to do this? Where was he mentally?
And of course, this also comes to the natural progression of conversations with other people, where they bring up, inevitably, that suicide is selfish.
Yeah.
It is intrinsically selfish because of what you put everyone you leave behind through. Now, the fact that it's kind of seen that way is interesting. It speaks more of the living than it does of the dead. I would say that there is an anger.
Yes.
And a frustration and a sadness. Every stage of grief goes into the decision to call suicide selfish.
Yes.
Because we are living. We want to keep living. We want to, I mean, for the most part, we want to keep going, and that is human nature, to want to not die.
And I think if you're somebody who has been touched by suicide, you feel as though, like, well, why didn't they just reach out to me? Like, how could, you know, I could have helped. And if you've never been depressed, if you've never felt depression, or you've had a very intense depression after a death, but you got through it and then you never had it again,
mm-hmm.
you don't understand how somebody could get to the point who they look financially successful. They sure. look like they should have everything. They don't have, you know, starvation. They're not. Why are they depressed?
Yeah. There's an amazing amount of like, there's an amazing amount of people who just want to sit there and just go, you've got everything, why are you so down on yourself? Or you feel so drawn to this famous person. They're famous. They have everything they want. They have money. They have friends. They have fame. They have love. A lot of these people are not as alone as you think they are, or they're more alone than you think they are, but you don't know that.
A wise man once told me something that really stuck with me, and he said that lonely is toxic, Lonely makes us do things we wouldn't normally do. And you can be in a room, and proximity-wise, you're not alone. But that's not the same as being lonely. Mm-hmm. And when you're depressed, so much of the it's so isolating.
Absolutely.
You feel, and especially, I feel almost as though the more success you have in your life, and the more that's going for you, if you still suffer from depression, it's almost, in a way, worse. Because you're like, what is wrong with me? I'm literally achieving my dreams, and I'm not happy.
You've been an introvert for your entire life, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So lonely is also something difficult to figure out for somebody who's an introvert coming from an extrovert. Lonely for me is death. Like that, if I am alone with my thoughts in a room, if I have not seen people for a week, that is when I am at my worst. I'm practically shaking just thinking about the idea of like being by myself for an extended period of time with no other human being to interact with. It's really just horrifying for me to even think about that. Like I would rather be without food and water for like a couple days than to be without any sort of social interaction for more than one.
Well, introverts don't want to be necessarily completely physically alone.
Sure.
I think, but what would feel like death, maybe, and I can't speak for all the introverts, but I know for me, one of the worst feelings ever is to be in a group of people and I can't connect to anyone. And
yeah.
I can't have like my, whatever I want to talk about or what I'm passionate about, when I talk to them, it's like they don't hear me or see me, or they're not excited about it either. They look maybe kind of politely interested, but it's not about being alone physically. I think it's that loneliness. And I think, I don't know, do you feel, when you're depressed, do you feel lonely? Do you feel isolated?
I would say, strike that, reverse it. When I feel lonely, I feel depressed.
Okay.
When I feel depressed, I feel worthless.
Right.
Is more of the thing that really is that feeling. Like, the lack of self-worth for me is derived not from necessarily my own actions half the time. It's derived from how I am with my friends. How the time I spend with them matters more to me than the time I spend with myself.
I think it's interesting that, because for me, when I'm depressed, I find that I pull away more and more from people. And I see introversion as, and extroversion as, how do you receive your energy? And if you're an introvert, you receive your energy from being alone or having very close, small gatherings.
Sure.
And so that the fact that I retreat, actually, and I want to be away from people, but then that feeds my being alone and lonely even more. But I'm desperately trying to gain energy back by being alone. So then it's the cycle, and it's just so awful. And I think for you, what I'm hearing, and it's so different than my experience, is you have said actually in the past that you feel like you're funnier. And you really get to be more presenting with people. And I think that's because you're trying to get more energy from being with people, so you're being more on.
And it kind of creates
as
this
extrovert.
It creates what I would classify to myself as a selfish need. It is a selfish need to be surrounded by people. It's a selfish need for me to want to be on, to be, you know, a fucking, here I am, look at me.
But do you think it's selfish because you feel like you are somehow harming somebody else and you're using them? Or do you feel like it's selfish because you need...
Well, when you get to that point, yeah.
You're not thinking about them. You're thinking about how can you...
Yes, that's when it becomes a selfish. It's like, I'm not thinking about my social interaction with them. I'm thinking about... It's that thing when you're talking to somebody and you know they're not listening because they're waiting for their turn to speak.
And that's you.
And that becomes me. I'm sitting there waiting for my turn to speak, and I hate that I fall into that. Like, that's like...
You know, I didn't realize going into making this podcast that people experience depression so differently depending on if they're an extrovert or an introvert. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I didn't think of it either. I mean, I knew that there was definitely going to be some difference there, but I didn't expect it to be quite so vast at times.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd like to wrap up this episode with talking about if you feel how to differentiate for yourself what's selfish versus what is self-interest.
And if for those of you also who do not have depression, what can be seen as selfish versus what is something that is self-interested. Yeah. I think it's good for the outsider perspective as well.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
But please.
Well, I think just from my own experiences, from what I felt was selfish from somebody else and what I became selfish. So as you guys know, I've been had depression, cyclical depression off and on for a while. And I've done a vast amount of work with therapy and self-help books and doing the homework and really figuring out for myself what I was doing that was a bad behavior, but I was allowing myself and I was indulging in it because I was sad or I was depressed. And I think everybody is going to have a different experience, and what you do is obviously super personal. But just from my experience, again, to sum it up, I have become better at when I'm feeling myself get depressed to make it a priority to take care of myself. Because if I take care of myself, I will be able to help and take care of the people around me. I will be able to do my work more efficiently. So it becomes your responsibility to figure out what it's going to take to keep yourself healthy. You may be just have to accept, you know what? I am somebody who has depression. I will sometimes go down that road. That doesn't mean that I'm going to allow myself to eat like garbage every day this week. That doesn't mean that I'm going to cancel plans every day this week right before I'm supposed to go out. Or I'm going to make excuses for myself. I feel strongly that it's not fair to use depression as an excuse for really bad behavior. And I've been the kind of person who has done that before. Oh. And I wasn't aware of it. I mean, it's hard when you're kind of muddling through and working through this. This isn't easy. And it's not fair that you have depression. It's not fair that you're dealing with it. It's not fair that your loved one has it. But once you're aware that you do, then you can take the steps to figure out how to become healthier.
You can stop seeing yourself through, instead of rose-colored glasses, kind of shit-covered glasses. Is kind of where I'm gonna go with that one, because you can feel the depression, you can kind of let it be that crutch for you, or you can take the crutch, use it for a little bit, and then cast it off like it's supposed to be. You're supposed to throw these things away when you're done with them. It's like, no, you don't have to hold on to it. Don't hoard your depression.
That's a good way of putting it. Because, and you're going to feel, as long as you're going to feel it, and I know that it blows.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's totally valid. And there will be days that you just can't do as much as other days.
Ooh.
And what we are saying is not, well, you know, you can be depressed for a little and then do it. No, it's just being a little more communicative with your friends and family, being a little bit sweeter. I invite you to be a little bit kinder and sweeter to yourself. Because like that one commercial with a special brand for my special eyes, you are special. You have a special thing about you. You have depression sometimes, which means you need special treatment. And that's not selfish. That is in your self-interest.
My brand.
Yes, your brand.
On the same note, for those of you who are seeing someone indulge in this from the outside, you too need to be kind of wary of your communication skills. Because remember, selfishness is not a one-way street. Selfishness can be both ways. You may see somebody doing something that you go, oh, they're doing that. Oh, that's so selfish of them. Think about it for a minute. Think about why it would be perceived by you as selfish. Is there something that they're doing that is afflicting you personally? Is it inconveniencing you? Is it making you feel bad? because they're doing something for themselves? Sorry, my dude. You might be the one who's selfish in this particular mm-hmm. instance. You might be feeling that what they're doing, if they're taking a personal day, mm-hmm. and it is a day that, you know, maybe you had plans with them, mm-hmm. and they might just be like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's been a really rough week, I can't do today, could we reschedule? Or they want to make plans, or they want to just do something else with you, just not this. And you think to yourself, oh, that's so selfish. No, dude, don't think that unless it really is something selfish. Again, go back to those examples. Did they forget to pay rent because they just spent their money on a PS4? Yeah, that's selfish, my dude. Did they cancel plans on you because they've had a really shit week and they just want to stay inside for a day? Not that selfish. Pretty good of them to actually reach out to you instead of flaking. Like, just not showing up at all at the thing. And you call them and they go, oh yeah, no, I can't make it.
And what you don't want to, and also just to keep in mind, I think, with this is, if someone's truly having a rough time and they had the clearness to communicate with you, hey, I'm not doing well, I do want to reschedule, would you really want to hang out with somebody who was really down and had no energy? I mean, it would just be like kind of grumpy and you know, not having a good time. They would be there for you. And I think that comes down to boundaries. And that might be another episode we do.
Absolutely.
Is having, you know, boundaries in relationships. And I think that's why for some of my family members, when I would have really strong boundaries of, hey, I can't help with this thing, they'd be like, well, you know, Lindsay doesn't want to think of our needs or whatever. It's just like, there's just certain things that you have to understand if they're trying mm-hmm. to communicate.
And that's really where it all comes down to, is communication.
Yeah.
But speaking of communication, you guys should follow us on Instagram, where the day before a podcast comes out, we will post a small clip, mm-hmm. usually a pretty amusing one, from the episode that you are about to hear the following day. We also highly encourage you to like our Facebook page.
Yeah, sometimes we post fun things. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start posting more, I think, inspirational fun stuff that we've had in our, you know, podcasts.
I think so. And if you have a question, if you have a reason to, you just want to hit us up, just say, hey, email us, mailbag@howareyouholdingup.com. And please, if you could, give us a rating and review on iTunes. We really want this to be heard by as many folks as we can, to get the message out, to really break down the walls of mental health awareness and being able to communicate effectively.
Yes.
That mental health is worth talking about. So please, if you could, rate, review, share. It all makes a difference.
Thank you guys so much. We absolutely adore you. We hope that you're having a wonderful week. And if not, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We have something to share with you.
We do. This week, I'm going to share with you. I got in the mail this week, I got my Bureau of Balance bracer from the Adventure Zone podcast. The Adventure Zone podcast is from the McElroy brothers, who you might be familiar with. They do podcasts such as My Brother and Me, and Wonderful, and Sawbones, and a bunch of other really cool, awesome podcasts. They're on the Maximum Fun Network, but they also do a gameplay Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Ooh.
It is the three brothers and their father playing D&D with the youngest brother, Griffin. He is the Dungeon Master, and he has woven an amazing story. If you've got any interest in amazing storytelling, give them a listen. They are amazing.
Thank you guys so much. And as always, don't tell us to just get over it.